Good to be here tonight. Good to see everyone out here. It's great to be a Christian this time. It's great to be a Christian any time of our life, but particularly this time of our life. It's good to see everyone, the young people and the older people here. And I like to hear the babies cry, Joe, wherever Joe is. I like to hear the babies cry because that means that we've got babies here in the church. And I can usually speak over them. Not too often do I get rounded out, but I do appreciate that. That was funny today, Joe. Thank you. But Beverly says she hadn't got you home yet, so you still got to face her when you get home. I asked her about that. I had two sermons that I really wanted to preach tonight, but since you don't want to listen to me preach an hour and a half anymore like I used to, I had to choose one. And the one I chose is called Grasshoppers and Snakes. And it's an interesting sermon because it's one that I think fits us real well today. Have you ever looked around yourself and seen all the things that you need that needs to be done? I really need to visit the hospital and all those that are sick at the hospital. I need to visit Christians who can't get out and get to church because they're sick and can't travel. I tried to call Kenny this afternoon and had the wrong number, so I had the right number too, but my phone, when I was dialing it from my car, only got the wrong number, so I didn't get a chance to call him, and then I forgot to when I got home. Have you ever decided that you need to visit those Christians that are too old to drive themselves and have no one at home that's willing to take them, bring them to church? We need to get out and visit them. We really need to visit the brother who's discouraged and considering leaving the church, or who might be even attending a denominational congregation down the street from us because of discouragement that he felt in the church. Have you ever decided that you really need to set up a study with your neighbors? Have you ever decided that you really need to spend more time talking with God in prayer and less time watching television or using your smartphone to read the news or read your favorite question and answer site on your smartphone? Have you ever decided that you needed or thought that you needed to set up dedicated study time? Just to sit down and study the Bible. Not just read it, but get down and study in the Bible. There's a lot of difference between the two. And have you ever decided and thought that, I really need to do this? In addition to all that I'd like to do, I have to do certain things. I have to pay the bills, and I have to try to get everything done. But at one time, my computer was broken, and I had to pay the bills, and all the bills were on my computer. I couldn't remember which ones got paid at which time. I needed to mow the grass, but my mower needed maintenance on it, and so that was going to take me another day to do the maintenance on the mower, so I could mow the grass. It was getting too deep. I needed to plant a garden one time when Peggy and I had gardens, but the gardens were but the soil was too wet, so I had to put that off. I needed to work on a proposal for the company I was working for, so that we could maybe get some work. I needed to clean the house. I needed to clean my deck. I needed to clean the storage shed. I needed to finish. Well, I think you get the idea. We have a lot of things that we want to do, like visit the hospital and those who are sick, like calling our neighbor who's not feeling well, like visiting our neighbors and trying to set up Bible studies with them. And then we have things that we kind of have to do. And we soon run out of time. And in your mind, we start saying, or in our minds, we start saying, I have given up a lot for Jesus. And look at the mess you let me get in. I mean, I've gone to church every week for three times a week for the last 70 years of my life, because I was going to church three times a week whenever I couldn't walk. But we look at this and say, look at what all I've given up for you, Jesus. and look at all the things I want to do that I don't have, that I can't find time to do, and look at all the things I have to do that I still can't find to do, and look at the mess I've gotten myself in that you let me get in. And then you begin to wonder, is there really a God? And if so, why are these things happening to me, a Christian? Shouldn't being a Christian mean something? Shouldn't God give me something because I am a Christian? Shouldn't he do something for me because I am a Christian? And if so, why don't we have the money that I need to live like my friends? Why don't I have a job that lets me travel like others do? I remember one time talking to Peggy about some of the technicians I had working for me at McGrath and even at Big Lake. And my technicians were working 3 to 4 months a year, 5 months a year, and they were spending the rest of their time in Fiji and Hawaii and on the South Pacific Islands or hiking the Himalayas. And Peggy and I working full time, me working full time and Peggy working occasionally, didn't even have enough money to go to Arkansas. And I wonder why was this going on? What was this happening to me, a Christian? These people weren't Christians, and yet it seemed like they were blessed, and we weren't. And now then, I wonder sometimes, why do I have such poor health, while others who don't even try to be Christians, who don't even try to worship God, who never even give God a second thought, are in excellent health? And in my mind, I say, I know that Jesus was persecuted, but I was left out of the party at my friend's house because they knew I didn't drink alcohol. I wasn't invited to other parties. I had to go to church on Wednesday night and Sunday nights, and that kept me from being able to do things that my friends were doing. I gave up golfing on Sunday mornings in order to go to church. I couldn't sleep late on Sundays because I had to go to church. I couldn't party on Saturday nights because my parents wouldn't make me come home early so that I could get enough sleep and not go to sleep during the sermon on Sunday morning. I wasn't allowed to date that real cool guy that everybody else thought was so cool. I couldn't wear the popular clothes that everybody else was wearing because my parents wouldn't let me. And I wasn't allowed to date until I got 17 years old, and everybody else was dating when they were 15 or 14 or maybe even 13 today. And we look around ourselves and say, why is this happening? I'm a Christian. Things should be better than this for me. Too many times we look at the things we need to do and those things we feel we have to do, and like the Israelites, we think we're grasshoppers and not up to the task at all. We look around ourselves and say, when God led the Israelites out of away from Egypt to the promised land, he performed numerous miracles. He brought down the strongest nation on earth for them. He allowed them to plunder Egypt on their way out and get gold and silver and jewels from the Egyptians. He opened up the Red Sea and allowed the Israelites to walk through on dry ground. And then he closed it down when the Egyptian army was trying to come through and liberated the strongest army on the face of the earth at that time. And then he gave them a law, and he killed thousands who worshipped a golden calf that they had made while waiting for Moses to come down from the mountaintop. And we recall that particular story, how that Aaron wanted to blame somebody else. He said all I did was put the gold in and the calf came out. He gave them food and water, and he led them to a river, and they balked. They stopped. They sent 12 spies across the river to spy the land out, and we know that story, how that 10 of the spies came back. All 12 spies came back and said, this is really a land of milk and honey. There were grape clusters so large that it took two men to carry one cluster of grapes on a pole between them. This is really a great land. But 10 of them says, those people are giants over there, and all we are grasshoppers. After God had destroyed the greatest army on earth, after he had done miracle after miracle after miracle, to allow it to cause not only the Pharaoh to allow him to come out of Egypt, but to convince the Jews that he was really God and that he was on their side. After he had done all that, they said, "We can't go do this because we're just grasshoppers in these guys' sights." Number 1333, and there we saw giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Because of their attitude, they didn't enter the promised land at that time. But today we look at our situation and complain the same way they did. Why do I have to do the things that, why do I not have to have the things that others do? After all, I'm a Christian, and Jesus said God would take care of me. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 33, Jesus taught this: "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, and neither do they reap, nor gather to barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they are? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, and neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what ye shall eat, or what we shall drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And I've sought first the kingdom of God. I've given up my Sunday nights and my Wednesday nights. I've given up my Sunday mornings. And I've given up a few times to study the Bible. And I've given up a few times to go visit somebody who was real close to me that was sick in the hospital. And I've done all these things, but my clothes are ragged and out of date. My roof is leaking and the paint's peeling. My car burns more oil than it does gasoline. My kids need dental work. I need new work clothes. The wife needs a new kitchen stove because the one we have is not working right and it burns everything or doesn't cook at all. The freezer stopped working and everything in it ruined. The bank accounts are overdrawn and the bills need paying. And I really, really need some sleep. And we think about God's promises. And we wonder, where are they at? Why isn't God taking care of me like he said he was? I can remember a time when Peggy and I had nothing, absolutely nothing in the house to eat. Nothing to eat. But you know, it lasted only one day. And God took care of us the next day. We sometimes think that God's promises are all air castles and won't amount to anything because of this, I'm not going to go to church anymore because God didn't fulfill his side of the deal. I'm not going to give what little I've been given because God didn't do what he said he was going to do. And I'm certainly not going to start praying or wasting my time reading the Bible because I've done that enough and nothing happened. And God didn't do what he said he was going to do. I think a lot of us have had some thoughts like this at one time in our life or another. After all, we're humans, and our faith is weak sometimes. And then we become what the Israelites were. We become grasshoppers because we see what God wants us to do, and we decide we're not going to do that because it's just too much. It's just too much to ask of me. And God hasn't done what he told me he was going to do to start with. It's just too much to expect of me to give up Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights and to give up the 14 days I used to go to revival services in the South when we had revival that lasted 14 days in a row. Ben and Carla probably remember those. And it's just too much to ask of me to do this. And these thoughts make us grasshoppers truly, because we look around us and decide, I can't possibly do everything I need to do. I can't possibly make a difference in the world. There's so many lost people, and I'm just one small person who's not very good at speaking and not very good at teaching. And there are so many sick people that I can't visit them all. So just to make sure I don't hurt somebody's feelings, I'm not going to go do any visiting. And the prisons are full of bad people. Otherwise, they wouldn't be there. So I don't want to go down there and do a prison ministry, because they don't deserve God's message anyway. And they wouldn't listen even if they did go down there. I would not want some of my friends to think that I've condoned the activities that got them there in the first place. So I'm not going to go and spend my time there. And because we're grasshoppers in our own minds, just like the Israelites were grasshoppers in their own minds, nothing gets done. The lost all around us will likely go to hell. The sick will linger in a hospital room wondering why their brothers or sisters don't care enough to visit. Those that are shut in that can't get out will remain shut in and wonder why somebody doesn't care enough to come and visit. The prisoners will get out of prison and continue their wayward living because nobody showed them a better way. And our reputation, whatever it was, remained the same with our friends. These thoughts caused the snakes to come into our home. The Israelites complained against God, and he sent serpents. And we know that story in Numbers, chapter 21, Numbers 21. When we complain against God, we also get serpents. Not like God sent the serpents to the Israelites, but the one that Satan sends to us to drive us further from God. When we allow a separation between us and God, when we allow these things to cause me to say, well, I'm not going to do this anymore because God hasn't lived up to his side of the bargain. He hasn't taken care of me. I don't have the clothes that everybody else has. I don't drive the car that everybody else has. I don't have the food that everybody else has. I don't have enough money to go and take my wife down to the restaurant like everybody else does. Satan sees that crack between us and God, and he drives his darts into it and makes it even wider. And those are serpents that Satan sends after us to drive us further from God. We see people around us who are not trying to please God, and Satan whispers in our ears. See, they have new cars, and they're not trying. They don't believe in God. Look at the home they live in, and then look at the home you live in. I bet their roof is not leaking, and their paint's not peeling. And Satan makes us look at these things. She has the newest kitchen appliances. They almost make dinner on their own. In fact, there's actually kitchen robots now that can make dinner for people on their own. And some people are buying those. I won't ever be able to afford one. Their kids don't have the cavities that aren't filled. Their living room is filled with overstuffed chairs and nothing has a hole in it. He has good clothes, a new gun that cost him $5,000, a new truck, and a lot of grown-up boy toys. And look at what I have. Not much. And these snakes that Satan sent after us bite and kill us spiritually, ruining our lives and causing us to enter eternity in hell. Oh, we had new homes here. We had new cars here. We had new everything here. But Satan's snakes have a venom that's powerful. And he runs that venom into us. And he separates us from God. Grasshoppers and snakes are tools of Satan. Grasshoppers convince us that we cannot make a difference. Grasshoppers convince us that we cannot do the things that others do. Grasshoppers convince us that we cannot teach. Grasshoppers convince us that we can't preach. Grasshoppers convince me that I can't visit. I just don't have the time. And I don't know what reception I'll get if I go. Grasshoppers convince us that we can't do anything that God wants us to do. But what they do cause us to do is drift farther and farther from God. They cause us to languish in our own depression and not see the true glory of the salvation that Jesus brought for us with his own precious blood. This is what the grasshoppers do. The snakes are Satan's whisper in our ears. Look at what he has. Why don't you have that? Didn't God promise he'd take care of you? Look at their home. Why is it your home like that? Didn't God promise your home to take care of you? Why are you still worshiping a God that hasn't kept his promises? Why do you pray when he doesn't answer? And these snakes kill us today just as certainly as the ones God sent the Israelites. They kill our desire to serve God. They kill our desire to pray to God. They kill our desire to worship. And they kill our love for one another. And eventually, they kill our love for ourselves. And then they kill our joy. And they replace it with envy and jealousy and overwork. Because the things that Satan promises are just illusions. And they're not that important at all. It's not important how big a house I live in, Tyler. It's not important how fast my car is. My son called me a few years ago and said he saw a car that had 500 horsepower. I told him I'd be more impressed if it got 500 miles to the gallon. Satan's darts causes us, and his serpents that he sent to us causes us to wonder about these things. And because of that, it causes us to work more and more. And we can't enjoy the life God gave us to enjoy. If we really look at it, God never promised us a mansion here, but he did say, Jesus did say, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. God didn't promise me the best clothes here. But in heaven, he's promised me a robe that's white. God didn't promise me that I'd be invited to all the best parties here. But he did promise me in heaven, I'm going to be able to sing with millions of people that believe in God and worship God through prayer, through song. God didn't promise me a rose garden down here, but he promised me heaven after life. And this is what we need to keep in mind. Grasshoppers and serpents. If there's anybody this afternoon who's been in this situation, who's looked around himself and said, I can't do this. I can't preach. I can't teach. I can't go visit. I can't call somebody because I don't know what to say or when to say it. Or I'm not going to call that person back because I've called four or five times and they haven't called me back. I'm not going to go and knock on somebody's doors because I don't want to have the door slammed in my face or be told something awful. If there's somebody here that's been in that situation tonight, or somebody here tonight that's been in that situation, then you need to think about what's happening. God has promised us a much better life, and he will fulfill his promise. And he will take care of us here. I know that for a fact because he took care of me and Peggy when we had nothing to eat. He's taking care of us when we didn't have many clothes. He's taking care of us. We've never been homeless. He's taking care of us. And when we listen to God's serpent, or Satan's serpents, they're just going to separate us from God. So if there's somebody here tonight who you look at yourself and say, I can't do this because I'm just a grasshopper. Or you listen to Satan's serpents and you allow them to separate you from God. Now's the time to come back to God. Come back and say, I'm not a grasshopper. With God's help, I can do these things. I can go visit the sick with God's help. I can preach with God's help. I can teach with God's help. And I'm not going to be a grasshopper any longer. And I'm not going to let Satan's serpents come in and separate me from God. If there's somebody here who's not a Christian, you don't have those promises. You don't have the promise of mansions in heaven. It's time to make a change tonight. If you need to respond, please come while the elders stand and sing.